Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
And good evening to you. Thank you for joining us. I'm Mark Boyle. This evening, Durham police investigating a drive-by shooting. It happened here on Chapel Hill Road near West Lakewood Drive. And investigators say, remarkably, it appears nobody was hurt. WRAL's Carly Haynes joins us live right now. Carly, what do we know so far about this investigation?
Mark, the shooting happened a little after 11 this morning. We spoke to a witness over social media who called 911. She tells us she was walking right here between Cocoa Cinnamon and Pine State Flowers where she heard 5 to 6 shots fired coming in that direction. Now take a look at this surveillance video that we got from a nearby restaurant. A person holding a baby ducks as a black car zips by. Those shots hit this bus stop, leaving shattered glass all around the bench. A person who is near the bus stop at the time said everyone went to the ground to avoid being hit.
A lot of time I'll be sitting out here because I got a lot of friends to hang out here. It kind of scared me. I'm going to quit hanging out up here. Like I said, it scared me to death.
We were also told shell casings were found outside of a nearby flower shop. That store is closed today following the incident. We tried reaching out to the Durham Police Department, and we're still waiting to hear back. Mark.
Carly Haynes reporting live for us tonight in Durham. Thank you. New tonight, Wake County deputies are investigating how a man ended up dead in a car on the side of a highway. The sheriff's office got the report around 12:50 this afternoon. Deputies found the man dead inside the car on the side of U.S. 64 westbound. Deputies are still investigating the situation. No word yet on how the man died. A state trooper is hurt after a pickup truck hit their cruiser. Take a look at these photographs from the scene around 8:30 this morning on I-85 in Orange County. The sheriff's office says deputies and the trooper were helping a disabled passenger bus. Someone in a Ford pickup truck hit one of the cruisers, injuring that trooper. The trooper went to the hospital with minor injuries. The Orange County sheriff suggested the driver of the pickup may have been speeding at the time. No word yet on whether that driver will face any charges. One person is dead and 2 injured after a car crash in Dunn. These are photographs from the scene last night. It appears the cars collided in the yard of a house. Emergency services says 2 cars were involved in this crash. One person died at the scene. 2 people went to the hospital. Investigators have not said what may have led up to that crash. It's another hot one out there, no doubt about that. Storms are possible heading into this evening. Anthony Baglione joining us now to talk about what's next. Anthony.
We've certainly seen the showers and storms here this afternoon. It's very, very typical to what we've seen the past couple of days as well. We get that daytime heating, the storms bubble up, and then we head into the evening and they start to fizzle out. Here's where we sit right now, though. You can see the loop over the past couple of hours of the storms pushing up from the south. At this point here, here's where we sit as we head up to the north. Henderson looking relatively dry in your direction right now. Durham, though, back toward Carrboro, even just to the north of 540 there, Rocky Mount. You can kind of see that band pushing back to the eastern part of our viewing area as well. Definitely some lightning showing up with it. Fayetteville had an earlier shower and storm, and there's also one in your area at this point. Goldsboro is still under some shower activity, and we're going to continue to watch this here as we go throughout this evening. No severe potential expected for us, but as we fast forward in time here, about a 50% chance of some showers and storms. We have more chances, though, on the way for us, Mark, as we head into this upcoming week. I'll talk about when they arrive here in just a few minutes.
Anthony, thank you. This week, the average U.S. home value rose above $350,000 for the first time ever. That's according to Zillow's latest market report. And although sales have slowed a bit here in the Raleigh metro area, prices still inched up to 1.2% from May to June. The average price, about $436,000, and that's out of reach for a lot of people. There's also fewer choices. New listings are 34% lower than last year. However, the city of Raleigh is trying to help home buyers. WRAL's Eric Miller shows us how.
Inside the Carolina Pines Community Center Saturday, dreamers line up by the dozen, all learning the ins and outs of buying a home.
I was privately renting, and then they sold the home when the housing market got hot. So I'm just, you know, trying to get back on my feet.
Karina Miles is part of the sold-out crowd. She's angling to get out of her mother's house and into her own.
So I've spent the last 3 years fixing my credit, and so today was for me to get more education to move forward.
Your home inspector must have a home inspection.
Saturday's event included three different workshops, plus booths and meet and greets, all designed to help first-time, low- and middle-income buyers connect with programs, lenders, and know-how to buy and maintain a home.
There are resources available to either help you get into your home or to help you stay in your home and hopefully, you know, stay there for as long as you want.
Raleigh's housing program administrator, Erica Brandt, says this advice is especially important with the current cost of housing in Raleigh.
I think we all know that Raleigh is a high housing cost market, so it's getting increasingly difficult to be able to buy a home if you don't already own one. And then for folks who do already own their home, it can be really hard to keep up with the cost of maintenance and repairs.
The event comes as the latest numbers show home prices in the Triangle are on the rise yet again. A recent report from Zillow says the cost of homes in Raleigh increased about 1.2% from May to June, although those prices are still below where they were this time last year.
Oh, it's absolutely intimidating and overwhelming.
Karina Miles says she wants to be buying a home within a year, a lofty dream she says she's ready to tackle.
As long as you do the work on the front end, what I gathered from this session is there are people out here to help you.
In Raleigh, Eric Miller, WRAL News.
A lot of good information out there, and if you missed it, all three home buyer workshop sessions were recorded, and they'll be posted on RaleighNC.gov. Wendell police have a person in custody after a shooting on Hollybrook Road. This was the scene when the WREL breaking news tracker arrived shortly after 1 a.m. Authorities say one person was shot. They don't believe this is a random incident. No word so far on the person's condition. We're also reaching out to police about a multi-car crash on Chapel Hill Boulevard near Garrett Road this morning. One vehicle was towed away badly damaged. No word yet on the cause or the extent of injuries there. The CDC is facing some big cuts to its funding. The National Public Health Agency is set to have its budget cut by almost $1.5 billion. The cutback is the result of the federal debt ceiling negotiations last month. Among the items that were eliminated was a grant that funded disease intervention specialists. The loss of those experts is expected to have significant impact on state and local health departments. Also among the possible cuts is a federal grant directed to states to help modernize their vaccine reporting systems. This all comes as the CDC welcomes its newest leader. WRAL first told you when Dr. Mandy Cohen was sworn in this week. Dr. Cohen was North Carolina's Health and Human Services Director who led us through the pandemic. Another big lottery jackpot up for grabs this evening. The Powerball grand prize now stands at $875 million. If you take the lump sum payout, get this, that's $452 million. This is the third largest Powerball jackpot to date. You can watch the drawing live tonight here on WREL immediately before our 11 o'clock news. Also, no one was able to win the seventh largest jackpot in Mega Millions history last night's drawing. That jackpot now stands at $640 million, and it will only get bigger before the next drawing. It's currently a $328 million cash payout. No one has matched all the numbers since April. We did learn that someone did purchase a ticket in the Charlotte area that matched the five white balls worth $1 million. The next drawing is Tuesday night again right here live on WREL before our 11 o'clock news. Knightdale High School was the host to some of the Triangle's fastest athletes this morning. This meet is the Soaring Eagles Track Club's second invitational. It honors the memory of Lee Vernon McNeil. He was an Olympic gold medalist and lifelong North Carolinian. McNeil died of COVID in 2021.
He loved working with kids. He loved track and field. And he actually got me to start a track club.
Money raised at today's meet goes to scholarships for North Carolina's up-and-coming track stars. It has been a banner year for novelty sporting events here in the area. And this coming Wednesday, the Chelsea-Wrexham FC Series exhibition draws the two squads together for the first time since 1984, right here in the Triangle. A Triangle woman helped put all of this together. Raleigh native and UNC graduate Molly Pendleton is excited to foster one of the biggest soccer events North Carolina has ever seen in recent memory, with a nod to her alma mater.
I think we've seen what, strong alumni bases like Carolina can do and rallying behind special events. It's not only the first EPL match, but it's really the first special event in about 20 years. I think that really the amount of support we've seen for soccer in general in the Triangle and sort of the way that UNC can mobilize their alumni base was really attractive.
You can find out everything you need to know about the Chelsea-Wrexham FC Series exhibition at Keenan Stadium by going to WREL Sports Fan. That includes information about tickets, parking, tailgating, shuttles, and a lot more. The game is Wednesday night at 7:30. If you think it's hot here, consider Phoenix, Arizona. The high, 117 degrees, and it's not cooling down anytime soon. They aren't the only ones dealing with record high heat, however. Coming up, we show you how the temperatures can be dangerous for much more than just people. And the Savannah Bananas play ball, the DBAP, ahead in sports. WREL's Luis Fernandez shows us how the popular team spreads joy through more than just baseball.
Live from WREL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WREL News, coverage you can count on.
A chaotic scene playing out in a Fayetteville neighborhood left several families stuck in their homes and police negotiated with an armed man. Thank you for joining us here this evening. I'm Mark Boyle. Officers were trying to serve commitment papers to a man who barricaded himself in a home and fired shots at police. WREL's Laura Levine shares the terrifying experience from neighbors.
Bullet holes left in windows and a destroyed home. This is the aftermath of a long standoff, which looked like it came straight out of a movie scene.
My boyfriend came outside to smoke cigarettes and my house was taped off and the whole area was blocked off.
However, this was the reality for a woman who only wants to be identified as Mary Ann and many others who live near South Riley Road.
Pretty much it went on for hours, but they've been in the neighborhood for like 3 days, surveillance in it and the drones going around and stuff like that.
Crime scene tape, police, and crisis negotiation teams filed into the Loch Lomond neighborhood. These are photos from the point of view of some neighbors who tell us they couldn't leave or return home for days. Fayetteville police say they were attempting to serve commitment papers when a man barricaded himself in a home on Desmond Drive. It all began around 8:30 Saturday night when a crisis negotiation team tried to encourage the suspect to exit the home peacefully.
I heard something, but I wasn't exactly sure what was going on. I heard probably about 10, 11 coming one way, and then I heard something going the other way, and I heard them. I heard the actual shot that broke the window of the SWAT truck.
Wow.
Like, that's how bad it was. There was like 3 bullet holes in his car window.
Over the course of the next 12 hours, the man fired at officers multiple times, striking 2 armored vehicles. Investigators tell me the suspect also had active warrants out prior to this.
I was very scared. I didn't know what was going on, but they reassured us. They were very nice cops, and they let us know everything was going on.
After continued efforts with officials on the scene, the man finally left the home. But neighbors still feel uneasy living in what they say has become a troubled area.
I'm thinking I should sell my house and move out of the neighborhood. That's what I feel right now. I mean, there's so much speeding around here. There's so much gunshots around here. There's so much drug activity and illegal activity. It's crazy. It's just insane.
Laura Levine, WREL News in Fayetteville.
And the suspect was injured over the course of the standoff, but police have not shared the extent of his injuries. WREL's Carly Haynes joins us live now from Fayetteville with what we're learning about the man involved. Carly.
Mark, we've been watching as investigators are going house to house, asking neighbors about what they know, and now we've been able to get some additional information about who this suspect is. Neighbors are telling us he was a kind, seemingly normal man, and he actually did some handiwork for several of the neighbors around here. But neighbors also tell us that there was an incident on July 4th. They knew he had some mental health issues, but nothing ever really became apparent until that day when there was an incident where he shot into several of the neighbors' homes. Now, no injuries resulted from that, but neighbors tell us they believed he stayed in his home until the SWAT standoff incident last night. Well, we don't know the extent of the injuries. An investigator did tell a neighbor he seems to have survived, but that they're currently looking into whether or not aggressive force was justified in this case. So there are still a lot of questions up in the air as this investigation is ongoing. Mark.
Carly Haynes live for us this evening in Fayetteville. Carly, thank you. We'll follow that story as we get new information here into the newsroom. We are watching. I do have an update for you now on a shooting we first reported last night as breaking news. This happened near Plaza Drive near Garner. We've learned that the person who was shot is a man and that he has serious injuries. Investigators have not released his name. This was outside the home last night where you can see crime scene tape and officers looking for shell casings with flashlights. No word yet on what led to the shooting or whether there is a suspect involved that we know of. New information about a pedestrian incident we first reported is breaking news this morning. Police confirm an 82-year-old man died after being hit by the driver of a Honda Civic while crossing Capitol Boulevard shortly before midnight. Police say Larry Weiner was walking across the busy street there outside of the marked crosswalk near the intersection of Old Buffalo Road. Photos from the scene showed extensive damage to the vehicle's front windshield. Capitol Boulevard was shut down for several hours while emergency responders were on scene. This case remains under investigation. We're waiting for an update on the condition of a child rushed to the hospital after reportedly falling into a swimming pool. This happened at a home off of Rivercliff Road yesterday afternoon. Fayetteville police tell us emergency responders responded for help there and took the child to Cape Fear Valley Hospital to be checked out. Firefighters were busy putting out flames at a home in Northwest Raleigh. Four fire departments responded to the house on Leanna Lane shortly after 6 a.m. Most of the fire was in the garage and the bonus room above it. The fire displaced one person who is staying with other family members tonight. The cause of the fire is still under investigation. Severe weather from coast to coast, leaving passengers at RDU, where you're looking live right now, at the mercy, really, of Mother Nature. Earlier this afternoon, another round of severe storms hit airports in the Northeast from New York to Boston, and due to those severe storms, causing some major cancellations and delays. By 3 p.m., 40 delayed flights out of RDU. Nearly 30 of those flights were canceled. At last check, 52 flights were delayed and 37 canceled. Two flights already are delayed for tomorrow. Because of the continued threat of the excessive heat this week, Cumberland County has extended the availability of several facilities as cooling stations through Wednesday. The stations included the Cumberland County Department of Social Services, the county's Department of Health, and any Cumberland County Public Library, and the Fayetteville-Cumberland County Parks and Rec Center. All locations will be open for normal business hours. Today marks 1 year since the 988 Suicide Crisis Lifeline was launched. Nearly 5 million calls, texts, and online chat messages have been answered through the suicide hotline. Almost 1 million of those were taken at the Veterans Crisis Line. However, a new survey reveals 82% of adults are either unfamiliar with specifics of the line or never even heard of it in the first place. However, psychiatrist Patrick Sullivan, who leads the UNC Suicide Institute, says the survey also reveals much that is encouraging.
It was pretty promising to see that Americans overwhelmingly favor increased attention and funding from Congress for mental health and for suicide prevention, specifically the 988 number. So I think it's a really useful, really helpful facility. It's an easy number for people to remember, to jot down, to keep in their head, far more than the 10-digit, 11-digit numbers that were there before.
Dr. Sullivan is one of the few people heading up a new effort to reduce the number of suicides across the state. We'll talk more about the strategy for doing just that on WRL News on Fox 50 tonight at 10 o'clock. Durham police have issued a warning today after responding to 12 different armed robberies since the start of the month. According to authorities, the suspect or suspects here have targeted Hispanic victims on Guest Road near Avondale Drive and Fushi Street. Once they have arrived at the homes, victims are robbed. Durham police are asking people to be extra aware of their surroundings. Have your keys ready to go when you're heading to your car or inside your house. And if you believe you've been targeted here, you are asked to call 911. State lawmakers are expected to continue working on the $30 billion state budget this week. The spending plan for the current fiscal year was due by July 1st. However, Republican leaders in the state House and Senate have not been able to reach a compromise just yet. They're deadlocked over tax cuts and raises for state employees and teachers. In the meantime, the state continues to run on last year's budget, and Medicaid expansion continues to be on hold for now. They're hoping to reach a deal in August. State lawmakers are also weighing whether to invest more than $1.4 billion into a new economic development venture. The nonprofit NC Innovation Program would use the money to help university researchers turn their ideas and discoveries into businesses, creating jobs in the process. It would be the single largest infusion of taxpayer money into a non-state entity in North Carolina history. Because of the proposal's size, lawmakers are tussling over all of this, of course, and supporters say it's needed to grow the state's economy, though. Opponents say there are too many risks and that the money could be spent better somewhere else. It's one of the issues holding up the approval of the state's annual budget, which would also set raises for teachers and state employees. You can go in depth about this proposal on our website today at nccapital.com. Novo Nordisk will look into next steps for expansion outside of Clayton. The company bought more than 100 acres of land for nearly $7 million. Tomorrow, Johnston County commissioners will consider a rezoning request to let the company operate on the land there. Novo Nordisk is one of the country's largest employers since beginning operations nearly three decades ago. Another Powerball drawing last night without a winner brings the estimated jackpot up to a whopping $900 million. If a winning ticket does appear, the cash out option will give out more than $452 million to the lucky winner. We air the drawing right here on WREL tomorrow night before our 11 o'clock news. And we can't forget about the Mega Millions jackpot. It now stands at $640 million, and it will only get bigger before the next drawing. No one has matched all of the numbers since April. The next drawing is Tuesday night here on WREL, again before our 11 o'clock news. All right, we are just days away from the Chelsea FC facing off against celebrity-owned Wrexham right here in the Triangle. Next at 6 o'clock, ahead of Wednesday's match, and a local junior Olympians need help getting to their goals. After the break, how you can help. Anthony?
And Mark, we still are going to see a very hot forecast into this upcoming week. Those feels like temperatures at or above triple digits. I'll talk about just how long that lasts and if we have any storm chances on the way coming up after the break.
This summer seems to be flying by. Some teachers and students in Durham head back to school tomorrow. Can you believe it? Hundreds of children will go back to year-round schools. Durham has five. In a statement, the superintendent said, quote, "We look forward to welcoming our students back for a year of learning and thanks all of the students and staff for their return." The North Carolina Food Truck Fair is underway right now out in Durham. 30-plus food trucks and other vendors are lining Foster Street in downtown Durham. The event runs until 8 o'clock p.m. It's free to attend with an additional $5 donation asked for support for the Durham Central Park and Meals on Wheels Durham. There's live music and an inflatable game zone for the kids and, of course, food of all kinds. This is the week local soccer fans have been waiting for a very long time. In just 3 days, the Chelsea-Wrexham FC Series exhibition draws the two squads together for the first time since 1984, right here in the Triangle. You can find out everything about Chelsea-Wrexham FC Series exhibition at Keenan Stadium by going to WRLSportsFan.com. That includes information about tickets, parking, tailgating, shuttles, and more. The game is Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. 32 young track runners need help getting to the AAU Junior Olympics. The games are in Des Moines, Iowa at the end of this month, and the Carolina Track Hawks hosted a car wash and food sale this afternoon. The money will cover their travel expenses on the way to the games.
And a lot of these kids don't have any means to get to somewhere like Iowa, 17 hours away, and have never flown or anything else like that. So that is really why we are doing this today, so we can ask the community to help support us getting as many of these athletes over there as possible, because the Olympics, the Junior Olympics, is a huge deal.
And good luck to them. The organizers say this year's games will have over 14,000 participants. A 28-acre wonderland of exotic and rare plants from all over the globe is opening for visitors for just two weekends here in Raleigh. The Juniper Level Botanic Garden is connected with Plant Delights Nursery and has customers as far away as Thailand and Japan ordering from right here in Raleigh. It opens for the public only once each season. This summer, they're open this weekend and next. Then the secret garden won't be available to the public until autumn. You can learn more about Juniper Level Botanic Garden and their open garden days on their website. There's a new exhibition in Raleigh featuring art from Haiti. Gallery C, as it's called, is showcasing original paintings, sculptures, and voodoo flags from Haiti. Haitian art often combines African traditions, Roman Catholic symbols, and voodoo rituals, resulting in vibrant, original works. The exhibition features pieces from the late 20th and early 21st centuries. There are 50 artworks available for viewing and purchase. Wasn't a bad day to be outside this afternoon. Certainly warmed up, but I actually got some time out by the pool today, Anthony.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see because we had a cold front that came through this afternoon, and I know it really didn't change things a lot, but there was a little bit of relief from the humidity in some spots out there. It was a perfect afternoon, still is, to head out, let's say, to Lake Gaston. Beautiful out there. The water looks very, very appealing right now with those hot temperatures that we have. We really are not going to see a break here, a big time break, if you will, from the heat and humidity the next couple of days. There's a live look right now, Carolina Beach. I'm sure this was very packed today. Looks like everyone's starting to wrap up here this evening, but still beautiful sunshine across most of the state of North Carolina at this point. It is just hot. We see feels like temperatures right now in Raleigh at 97. 102 is what it feels like in Clinton. So very hot out there right now. 100 in Goldsboro, feels like 97 in Rocky Mount, 99 in South Hill, Virginia. So if you have any plans the next couple of hours and through the entire upcoming week, please make sure to stay hydrated. Just keep that in mind if you are headed out. This is what we're looking at, though, feels like temperature-wise the next couple of days. So the actual air temperature is there in the yellow. The feels like temperature is in the orange. We don't really see them getting above or at least close to triple digits really until about Wednesday, Thursday, and into Friday. Those will be the hottest days of this week, and we're going to see, again, those feels like temperatures just under heat advisory criteria, but it might be nice if we were to get a break from the humidity, right? We were to see our muggy meter go down a little bit. I really don't see that. We're going to still be kind of in that tropical slash miserable category here, I think, as we head into Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and just no big break from that. So we're kind of locked into this pattern. I will say, though, looking ahead a little bit, if you've been missing the, let's say, 80s, next weekend, the 80s will be back here for Saturday and Sunday, and it could feel a little bit better. So there's a bit of a light at the end of the tunnel if you're not loving this heat. Here's where we sit, though, into tomorrow. So let's talk about future cast heading into the start of the week. No rain chances here to speak of. There's 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. It will be very similar to this morning, only subtract the rainfall chances, and we have just a partly to mostly cloudy sky here to start tomorrow morning. We go through the day. I think we'll head into the afternoon with a lot of sunshine here showing up on the map. It's going to actually be a pretty nice day overall, just hot, and there could be a quick sprinkle here kind of from that sea breeze front coming in, especially for our eastern counties. Very, very limited coverage, only about a 20% chance at best. So that's kind of what we're going to go for tomorrow. Let's talk about the tropics here. Still very, very quiet relatively to where we could be for this time of year. We do have a subtropical depression now, Dawn. This is at 35 miles an hour right now, and that central pressure is at 1,010. If that central pressure were to continue to drop, it would mean it's a strengthening storm, and it really is not forecast to strengthen much. It may go back up to a tropical storm into Thursday of next week, but really not expecting major impacts from this system. We'll continue to watch it, though, for you. Here's where we are headed. Look at those temperatures. 95 on Tuesday, 95 on Thursday. There's not much of a range there here the next couple of days. And then some scattered storms there possible, Mark, as we head into Wednesday evening and Thursday. So keep that water handy this week.
How about that next weekend? Not too bad.
Yeah, looking a little bit better. 88, 89, that'll feel good.
We'll take it. Anthony, thank you. Turning now to what's coming up next in sports. Hey, Casey.
You know, there's something about the Tampa Bay Rays system. It's so deep, so when guys do get the call up, you know, to the Durham Bulls, well, it doesn't take long for them to make a major impact. Plus, perhaps a changing of the guard in men's tennis. We got highlights from the epic final at Wimbledon.